This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
Take a minute, girl, hunt you down. What's been happening? What's been happening? Take a minute, take a minute, girl, hunt you down. What's been happening? What's been happening? Take a minute, girl, come to follow to be alone. And I wanna break your heart. Come to follow to be alone. In your face, like a sea action. Come to follow to be alone. And I wanna break your heart. Come to follow to be alone. In your face, like a sea action.
Can I please talk to you for a minute?
Take a minute, girl, hunt it down. What's been happening?
What's been happening?
What's been happening? Take a minute, girl. Take a minute, girl, hunt it down. What's been happening? What's been happening?
Talk to you for a minute.
On FUBAR.
Hello and welcome along. It's a Sunday evening, Sam and Lucy with you here on FUBAR Radio. Hope you're well and have had a good weekend. First weekend of like actual autumn. Summer is gone. Forget about it. All we have now is Christmas until next year. We've got New Year, I suppose, but that's in next year. That is 2016. Forget summer for like 12 months. Right, first things first, I've got to level with you. It is not a Sunday evening. In fact, it's a Wednesday. The Wednesday just gone. I am in the past. And not only am I in the past, I am also all alone. No Lucy this evening, just me. But before you turn off, because I know there's a lot of people out there who just listen for Lucy. I've met some of them actually, shout out. You know who you are. There is lads out there who are just listening for Lucy. But those lads, don't turn off, because this is going to be good. We will be hearing from Lucy later on in the show. We also will be hearing some of our best bits from the summer, and we'll hear what happened when I went to Creamfields. I actually did some interviews. I was reluctant, but I met some actual DJs and spoke to them about their musics. Both Armin van Buuren, Mr. Probs, Together, and Joe Stone, the man responsible for one of the biggest tracks of summer 2015. We'll be speaking to him later in the show. But as I say, most importantly, we will be hearing from Lucy. Now, when we do pre-records normally, me and Lucy are both normally here in the studio, no matter what day it is. Even if it's not Sunday, we'll still come together, sit for 2 hours, play the musics, and have a chat. That's not the case today, though, because Lucy has somewhere else to be. Now, that somewhere else will all be revealed when I give her a call in just a song's time. So stay right where you are. Don't be put off by the fact it's just me and there's no Lucy, because I promise you it is going to be worth it. I will reveal all after this.
Is someone listening?
It's Feta and Goodbye.
Okay. Let me tell you the story of that guy. First you loved, then you promised, was losing control, crazy night, intense. Now living my own life, got you out of my path, been wasting too much time, gonna leave you far behind. You run away. Are you thinking of me when you struck her? Does she know you were supposed to love me till you die? Almost kill me.
With Goodbye, one of the biggest tracks from Ibiza this summer. A track that now is going to get an official release here in this country and expect it to be massive. I say that all the time on this show, but with good reason. Feta and Goodbye, go out and get it. Now, as I said, it is just me, just Sam, here on the Sam and Lucy Show on Foobar Radio today. Don't worry, we will be hearing from Lucy. There is a good reason Lucy isn't with us, and that is because tonight, she is on an actual date. I don't know how tall this person is, what their occupation is. I want to know it all, as I'm sure you do too. So together, we will give Lucy a call on the other side of this record here on FUBAR Radio. It's your Sunday evening here on FUBAR Radio. Just Sam this evening, no Lucy. Well, I say no Lucy, she isn't in the studio with me because it isn't actually a Sunday, it's a Wednesday. And Lucy has other business to attend to. Isn't that right, Luce?
That's right, I'm not actually there. I'm just like a robot.
What do you mean, a robot?
Do I not sound a bit like a robot in their ears? Like,
On the phone? Is that No, it's fine. It's fine. People do this all the time, don't they? Like, speak on the phone on the radio.
Oh, okay then. Yeah. I feel more professional.
This is something I actually studied radio, and I've long thought, whose idea was it to allow phone calls to be a thing on the radio?
Well, if I don't sound like a robot, it doesn't matter then, does it?
No, you sound not too bad, I suppose, but I have heard some awful calls on the radio. You know, one of those calls that if it was just you and a friend, you would have gone, should we just text? Because this isn't working.
Yeah, why bother? Exactly. Why bother with all this phoning nonsense? That's... Although I'm quite partial to a phone call.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I think I'm the only person our age that I know leaves voicemails.
Right, okay, nobody leaves voicemails nowadays. Not even I do. I'm, like you, do prefer a phone call because I feel like it saves texts.
It's quicker.
Of course it is.
You can get more across.
However, I don't think anybody checks voicemails anymore, so your voicemails are completely wasted. You're wasting 20 seconds of your life at a time.
Oh, really? No, I quite like it. Because, you know, they say, like, a photo says 1,000 words.
Okay.
I feel like a voicemail, you can get so much more across than in a text.
What about just emojis? See, that's what I've started to do now.
Oh, I do like an emoji.
You could just...
I like the little poo with the eyes.
Well, what does that more mean?
The poo with the eyes?
Yeah. What does it mean?
Is that... Oh, no, it's a poo.
But it's got eyes, right. See, what I like to do is send, like, multiple emojis. Like, we're talking 20 emojis, all in one text, and that really does tell a story.
Hang on, you never send me emojis.
Right, well, I'll start then. It's something I do to, like close friends.
Oh, all right, so I'm not at that level.
Well, I don't mind saying that, because in previous shows, you've described me as neither a friend nor an acquaintance.
Yeah, it's because you're not.
Yeah, I don't know where that puts me, but that's why.
I quite like this being on the phone thing. I'm just in a dressing gown.
Right, okay, talk me through it. Talk me through what Luciana Gray is up to right now.
Well, I'm just wandering around my flat with a coffee in a leopard print dressing gown.
Okay, slippers?
It's great. No, barefoot. I'm crazy like that.
Okay, makeup face or non-makeup face?
Leftover from work.
Okay, so it's going to be touched up.
So, like, the eyes are still there, but the face and lips are just gone, so I need to sort that out.
Okay, well, I don't have any makeup on, Lou, so it's fine.
You never make an effort for me with your nondescript grey T-shirts and your no makeup and your floppy hair.
This is a very nondescript grey T-shirt. I think of the grey T-shirts I have, this is the most boring that I'm currently sporting.
Well, I'm glad I'm missing it.
Well, I don't know. You would have enjoyed commenting on it, I think.
I commented on it and I'm not even there.
It's been a few weeks, hasn't it, Luce? I feel like I've got distracted, but the idea with this chat was to simply catch up.
I know, I always get distracted, I'm sorry, even when I'm not there.
Because we've both been festivaling, I've been off to a music festival, you've been off to a festival of the arts, isn't that right?
The festival of the arts is Edinburgh.
And that's where you've been?
That is where I've been, and you were at, what's it called? I always forget.
Creamfields,
it's not because I don't listen.
No, well, it is. Because,
it is.
How long were you at your festival for?
A week and a bit.
A week and a bit, right. So tell me all about it.
It was amazing. It was the most tiring week of my life. Very stressful. But my play thing went okay.
Okay.
Better than I thought it would. Like, people actually paid to come see it. And people reviewed us quite kindly.
That's not that bad in Edinburgh, because from what I've heard, isn't there free stuff? Like, people are doing stuff for free, so for people
Indeed.
To come along to yours when you're asking for money, that says quite a lot.
I know, and like, we did have, I mean, as Fringes goes, we had about 20 to 30 people every night, which, we were in a 40-seat room, so it was pretty good.
You've got to be happy with that.
Exactly, and I saw loads of comedians, which was brilliant. I got to interview some.
Okay.
And I had lots of chit-chats with favourites of mine, so it was great.
Did you record any of these interviews?
Yeah, but just on my phone in like a casual way.
Oh, because I don't know if you realise, but as it stands, me and you don't really have a show, do we?
Well, given that, you know, I'm in Brighton right now, it's slightly tricky.
Okay. Well, you could send up some audio if you wanted.
No, because it's just me, like, laughing inanely at comedians and vaguely flirting with them. I don't think anyone wants to hear that. I mean, I don't want to hear that, is what I mean.
Right, okay. So you're recording these, basically, voice memos on your phone is just for you to listen back to?
Yeah.
That's all it is, okay.
Just for my own personal enjoyment. It's like a little Lucy podcast for Lucy.
Wait, and you actually do enjoy listening to our show again, don't you?
I've only done it once, but we're a hoot.
We're a hoot. There you are.
We really are. 5-star, Lucy Gray.
You can't do that to your own show.
Just done it, right?
You cannot. These comedians you interviewed, are they anybody that I will have heard of?
Do you know Stuart Goldsmith?
No, unfortunately, no.
FUBAR listeners will probably know who he is.
Okay.
He's done the Comedian's Comedian podcast. Oh, I bumped into Arthur Smith. That was brilliant.
Oh, yeah?
That was great. He was doing his walking tour of Edinburgh, and he walked past me in a kilt and pretended I was an art installation.
Okay.
And I had a bit of healthy banter.
Right.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I walked past Barry Cryer, and I was like, oh, I love you.
I have no idea what's...
You don't know who these people are?
No,
honestly, two of our listeners will be like, oh my God, Arthur Smith, Barry Cryer, Stuart Goldsmith.
Okay, well, that's all right then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did you see at your festival?
What, like, famouses?
Yeah, famouses. Let's see if they're as famous as Barry Bloody Cryer.
I saw Annie Mack and Danny Howard off of another radio station.
All right, fine, I know them, yeah. But they're another radio station, so why bother mentioning them?
I was supposed to meet with superstar DJ Martin Garrix.
Is that his full name, Superstar DJ?
Well, no, I think he likes to go as Superstar DJ because he's now, like, the biggest DJ in the world.
Do you add that on because no one knows who he is?
Martin Garrix? Are you kidding me?
Not a clue, mate.
You're joking, aren't you?
Honestly, if I'm still talking about bloody Barry Cryer...
Okay.
...and Arthur Smith, well, I'm not really with it.
This story that I'm about to tell will give you an idea of who Martin Garrix is, right?
Shoot, have I got enough? I mean, I love being at home. I can just eat whilst you're doing this. Go ahead, mate. I'll have a little snack.
About four o'clock... Uh-huh. I'm sat around a tent with my friends, okay? I'm desperately trying to get 3G, trying to look up things to ask Martin Garrix.
Yeah.
So I'm Googling facts about Martin Garrix so then I can ask him all about them. I then need, it's about a 25-minute walk from where I'm camping to get over to the press area for my interview at 4:30 with Martin Garrix. 4:05, I set off. I get there in plenty of time, but when I get there, I'm told Garrix isn't there.
Why?
So I'm hanging around for a while. I'd say out there half an hour, and I'm seeing all the celebs walking past. There was Philip George, another DJ. A lot of... I'm trying to think who else I saw. Mr. Jam, if you're aware, Mr. Jam.
Oh, big fan.
Okay.
Huge fan of that one.
All these people are walking around. They all know each other, of course. And I'm just stood there in a corner, speaking to nobody because nobody knows me.
Right.
And then eventually somebody comes over and says, oh, I'm sorry. Martin's going to have to cancel. His private jet is late.
Oh, shut up. He has a private jet.
Private jet. This guy's 19 years old.
No.
Yeah, so all these questions I had written down to ask Martin Garrix, they're a waste.
Well, all you need to say is, mate, how do you get a private jet when you're 19? Tell me the secrets.
What we could do now, Lou, seeing as though you're here, why don't you... Well, I'll ask you the Martin Garrix questions that I wrote down. You answer as Luciana Gray.
Brilliant, yeah, do it.
What's a typical festival day like for you? Is it in or out, or do you get to hang around and see other DJs?
Oh, well, typical festival day, I'll get up, I'll have my coffee and my banana, and maybe a cheeky cigarette.
Okay.
And then I'll go see something from the Free Fringe, maybe have a chat with them after, take them for a cheeky pint. And then I'll go do some yoga with my actors to get them warmed up. I'll do a performance. And if I'm feeling like it, I might go see a comedy show after.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Martin, you're here both at Creamfields and at SW4 this weekend. That's kind of a typical weekend for a superstar DJ like you, right?
Yes, but luckily I have my private jet to fly from one to the other.
Summer's coming to an end. A particularly big one for yourself because you've had your residency over in Ibiza. With
of course,
both you
of course.
And Oliver Haldon, tell us all about it.
Oh, it's been mad times. Me and Barry Cryer out in Ibiza have just been raising the roof. And then Arthur Smith comes up in a kilt and he's like, yeah, let's go on a boat party. We're like, mate, no, we're going to a phone party. Get in the jet. It's been amazing, mate.
The gig you play, the tracks you play, the set you play at somewhere like a Shire in Ibiza, does that vary from the set you'll play here at Creamfields tonight?
Oh, completely. Yeah, no, I like to keep it fresh. I'll chuck in a bit of Bach in the middle.
Okay.
A bit of, you know, like Bowie. Like, I completely mix up. I don't want the audience to know what's coming, mate. And then obviously I'll finish off with a naughty, naughty tune. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Can we go back 2 years, Martin, to the summer of your track, Animals?
Oh,
the
I'm biggest... 17?
That's right, you're just 17.
Yes.
And you have a track called Animals, which is first released as an ID, And I don't know if you know what that is, Martin, but that's when they just release a track called Animals, but they don't put someone's name to it. So then people start to speculate. There gets a buzz around the track. And then
I don't know why you're telling me this, mate.
Oh, sorry, Martin. Of course you know, don't you?
Don't patronise me just because I'm younger than you.
Sorry, Martin. And then, of course, Animals went on to be Beatport number one and then became bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
until,
stop telling me stuff I already know.
Until in December 2013.
Look, mate, I've got the jet waiting. Can you get cracking? Because I've got a lot of people to see. Annie Mac's waiting for me down the road. Like, I need to get cracking.
Sorry, Martin. But of course, it was a UK number one in the end, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, the first instrumental track for 10 years in the UK to reach number one. No lyrics at all.
Are you Wikipedia or something, mate?
Well, I had to do my research, Martin.
Freaking hell. Right, go on.
Maybe I'll finish up. Do you get a lot of collaboration requests, Martin?
Yes, of course I do. I'm bloody Martin, what's his face?
Garrix.
Garrix.
Okay, and you've got the artist album on the way. Is the Ed Sheeran collaboration that we've heard so much about, is that going to be on the album?
Yes, and Cyndi Lauper.
Thank you, Martin Garrix, everybody.
Thank you.
With Animals here on FUBAR Radio. You just heard him before, live from some flat in Brighton, because it wasn't actually Martin Garrix. It was, in fact, my partner in crime, my friend, I think, Luciana Gray, who's still with me on the phone.
Hello, still in the dressing gown. I've started making pasta.
You started to make pasta? What is in that pasta, please?
It's fusilli pasta.
Right, what's that?
You know, the curly one.
Right, okay. Yeah, that doesn't actually tell me what the pasta's going to taste like, does it?
And I'm going to make a little tomato sauce and just pop a bit of cheese on, a bit of pancetta. Simple, mate. And actually, I'm proper grown up now because I don't put pasta from the packet into the saucepan. No. I have a little glass jar full of pasta.
You are joking.
Stop. No, I actually do.
Because this is something that mums do, don't they?
I know, right? But I had the jar, which used to have my stationery in. It's a very big jar. But I'm an adult, and I have an iPad. What do I need stationery for? And I was like, I know, Fusilli jar.
Very nice. However, the pasta you're making doesn't sound that adult. It's just pasta with the tomato sauce and cheese.
One step at a time, mate.
In fact, I'm quite surprised that that's what you're cooking. Even I can do better than that.
I'm in a hurry.
I do this thing called mushroom soup pasta.
Right.
So what it is, Luce, it's mushroom soup is your sauce with pasta.
Gotcha.
But then you put in, like, chicken if you want. You can put in the tuna instead. And then peppers, onions, mushrooms, all of that.
Tuna and mushroom pasta? That sounds wrong to me.
Really?
I don't know why, but it really does.
It does sound better to me than just your tomato-flavoured pasta.
Yeah, but it's, what's his name? The man, Lloyd Grossman.
Oh, okay. In that case, that's not so bad.
And come on, that's nice. We all know that.
I don't know why you're eating, though, because aren't you off out tonight?
I am off out tonight, thank you very much for asking.
We finally got there, because that's the reason you're on the phone.
I know. Well, I was happy to do a Sunday show. Don't drop me in it.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's my bad.
Well, yeah.
No, it's not my bad. I blame my brother. It's my brother's fault.
Okay.
He's in the London area and demands that I take him to see things like Big Ben.
Brother Hutt, it's all your fault that this is happening. But in fairness, you were like, oh, let's do it in the weekday. And I'm like, nah, I live in Brighton, mate. Not happening.
Fair enough.
So we're having a phone call, but I am actually going out soon. So, you know, get
yes.
cracking.
I've already told the FUBAR listeners where you're off. Not specifically,
you told them?
Not specifically, because obviously that would be weird. But
please don't.
I've said that you're off on a date tonight. That date,
right.
though, mustn't include food, because you're eating now.
No, it doesn't include food. We're going to, like, a fancy pub.
What do you mean, a fancy pub?
So not like a pub.
Yeah.
Like, way, mate, pub.
So that way pub, they do like crisps and pork scratchings. At a fancy
pub,
they do things like food. So why are you eating?
Because we're meeting quite late because I'm doing this.
You are joking.
No.
You were due to go for food, but because I asked you to speak on the phone.
Well, it was either that or speak on the phone about being on a date with him in front of him.
Well, no, what you could...
And to be honest, I'm already annoyed at myself for using the D word, because if he hears this, he'll be like, oh, date, that's a bit much, isn't it?
Oh, really? Does he not think it's a date?
Well, this is the thing, because date, and I will talk to you listeners about this, I feel you might be able to empathise with me here, the word date is something you say with your friends.
Right.
And you say in your head.
Yeah.
But you would never say to someone you want to go on a date with, let's go on a date, or this is a date, or that was a date.
Okay.
Because
what you say to them is just let's go out.
Let's go for a drink. Let's meet up sometime.
I've seen this in films. As you know, I have no experience of dating. Like, it's never happened.
Or films, actually.
Well, actually, yeah. Although the films I watch, they do tend to include dates.
Yeah, it does tend to be a woman in a flat in somewhere like Brighton.
This is it.
Living alone in her swanky dressing gown, going on a date.
Yes.
That she's then talking to her, like, guy friend from London about.
This is it. I love a rom-com.
You do.
And I had a rom-com on Monday after Creamfields. And let me tell you, Lucy, I was in tears.
What was it?
It was a film called... it was something like This Is Us or something like that. It was basically about a family coming back together. And they were all the kind of, 30 to 40... all kind of like at that point in their life where they're thinking, where is life gone? And they all come back to the family home and all kind of meet their childhood sweethearts again. And then it all happens like that. It was
that
very nice.
That sounds adorable, mate.
It's just what I needed on a bank holiday Monday after a very big bank holiday weekend.
Yeah.
But as I said, no experience of real dates for me. So I live my dating life through you.
Yeah, you really did it, mate.
Which is why I need to know everything about this guy. It is a guy, is it?
It's a guy.
Okay, can we have his name? Or maybe a code name? Invent code,
code name. Code name.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you.
Barry.
Okay, so you're off, out with Barry to a posh pub, the type of pub that does serve food, but you're not having food because you like children's pasta.
Yeah.
and you didn't want to order off the children's menu in front of Barry, because obviously that would be embarrassing.
And also, it's really expensive in places like that.
Yeah, but Barry would be paying, surely. That's the way it works.
Not with me.
Okay.
You pay for yourself.
Okay, well, that's good.
Or, like, if it's drinks, you get a round in.
Okay. And what were you drinking tonight?
Well, this is the thing. It's like, because I don't want to get drunk, do I?
No, I'd agree with that.
I should probably keep to, like, I don't know, something like beer.
Okay.
It's not strong, and you can have, like, 3 pints of that, and you won't be at all drunk.
When you say beer, do you mean, like, lager or actual ale?
Well, I like both.
Right,
I'm partial to a Guinness.
Right, okay. See, I think if you go in and drink Guinness, Barry is going to be—he's going to fancy you a lot. Like, really
impressed.
Why?
Why's that?
A girl drinking Guinness?
Is that like, cool?
I think
is
so.
That a thing?
Yeah, I think, why not?
Oh, I'll drink Guinness then, because I was thinking, like, oh, maybe white wine, because it looks more delicate in my hand.
Yeah, maybe. Or gin and tonic.
But then I'm not a delicate type.
Maybe just be you, Luce. All I'd say is don't go for a WKD.
I was going to say, if I'm going with me, it'll be a tequila slammer.
Yeah, see, that's not good on a Wednesday, is it?
It's definitely not. It's a Wednesday, I thought it was Tuesday. God. Oh, I should lay off the tequila.
Yeah, don't, mate. Definitely
don't. I just thought it was Tuesday.
If you go out on a weekend, I feel like you can do that. You can do shots and the like.
Especially if it's late.
Yeah,
and you're both like, oh, it might only be two of us, but let's be kooky and have fun.
Whereas midweek, I think you are simply going to try and get to know each other.
It's a Wednesday, I'll have 2 Guinnesses, and that'll be fine.
I don't know, share some crisps. Why not?
Oh, I might have crisps, but then do you rip it open and share it?
Yes.
It's a very English thing to do.
You have to do that. Whether you're amongst friends, with a date, with people you barely know, it has to be ripped open. Has to be.
I hate that. Are you the kind of person that gives out segments of a Satsuma?
I share almost anything. Oh, I try to.
You are a sharer.
Yeah, I've been told off previously, like, in the first week of my job, I tried to share chocolate with the girl who sat next to me, and rather than saying no, she said, we don't do that here. So... yeah, it's
that's
just very blunt. Very blunt, just like that.
That's brilliant. Well, actually, at Food Bar Headquarters, you do share with me your Pringles and your little sweets and stuff. But a lot of the time, if I eat it, you then get angry at me for eating it and call me up on it.
I just feel like you, once they're open, your hand's going in there more than mine. A lot of the time.
That's my problem. This is why I don't buy snacks.
I think if you buy the snacks tonight, if you're buying the salt and vinegar McCoy's, you feel free to keep going in as much as you want, okay?
Okay, however, what if he gets them?
I think you can only take 2 or 3.
But then Barry, I don't think he's as much of an eater as I am.
Really?
Because I'm like, oh my God, I'd go for it, mate.
Right, well, tell me about this Barry character then.
Well, this is the thing. Barry, I'm pretty sure he might actually listen to this show.
What do you mean? So you've got previous with Barry?
Oh, I know Barry, yeah.
Okay, right.
This isn't like a blind date or new or anything. I know Barry. And this is the thing now. I can't believe I'm saying this on air. This is mental.
No,
I'll just have to tell him not to listen. Oh, but then if you say don't listen, you'll definitely listen, won't you?
But also, remember, this is all pre-recorded.
Yeah.
This is Wednesday this is happening. This isn't going to air till Sunday.
Yeah.
So we can talk about it at this point as much as we like. Barry's
yeah.
not going to hear this until it's too late.
Well, then why bother saying it?
No, I like it. This is good. I feel like this is exciting because the listeners are kind of in on something that,
yeah.
although it's in the past, we're in the future.
Oh,
I mean, it's hurting my brain.
That's beautiful, mate. That's beautiful.
It's hurting my brain, but as it stands, the listeners are in on something that Barry himself isn't even in on.
Oh, it hasn't even happened. That's exciting.
This is it. So this is
I'm
the plan, Luce. Right?
Yeah.
I'm back at Fubar HQ on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And what I plan to do is give you another call then to see how Barry was.
Oh, that's such a good idea!
Right, just let's see how Barry is.
So, I'll set it up now.
Yeah.
I know him.
Okay.
And we have a lot of mutual friends.
Right.
And he's a really lovely guy.
Do you call yourself friends?
Yes.
Okay, can I ask what Barry
recently,
does?
He works, I don't know, some computer thing. I don't know.
Okay. Can I be honest?
It's really boring.
It's really boring. Well, there you go. A great start.
His job. He was recently. He's just finished a postgrad.
Oh right. Okay. So quite smart.
So he's smart, but this is the issue, Sam, and this is what I'm concerned about. Which we'll find out tomorrow what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot smarter than me.
You're quite a smart person, though, aren't you? But don't you think?
Well, this is the thing. Apology for the swear that's coming. I'm a massive bullshitter.
Right. Okay.
So, like, I'm really good at like scamming my way through life.
Are you one of those people that doesn't like to be in a conversation with people more intelligent than them, so therefore they try to one-up that person, and therefore begin to bullshit?
Not in conversations in general.
Okay.
But conversations that could be of the romantic kind.
Right, okay, you're going to complain.
Situations of the heart are nerve-wracking, right?
Yeah, of course.
So you want to feel confident and like on level ground, and if like everything I say they're like, oh yeah, I've done that 10 times better, I'll be like, shit, I have nothing.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I can give you, any, you know, like little facts, little known facts that you
well,
can
you know,
wow
stuff
Barry
about
with
DJs, but I wouldn't be able to last that conversation. I'd say your facts and then I'd be out.
What about, right, I'll give you just a couple of facts, things that I think are quite interesting, you tell yeah. Barry these facts and we'll see how they go down.
That's a brilliant idea, mate.
Right, here's one for you. Do you know why humans like chocolate so much?
Why?
Because chocolate melts at body temperature. Therefore, we love the melting sensation.
You got any more?
Do you know the capital of Nepal? Do you? What are you laughing at? Do you?
Wait, so in what context am I going to bring that up?
Well, do you and Barry know the capital of Nepal?
No, I don't, mate.
Right, Kathmandu.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I should have known that. Sorry, all our Nepalese listeners.
Right, so I think you tell Barry
that's
really
two
facts.
Really bad I didn't know that. Oh, but he'll know that last one, and I'll just be like, yep, it is.
Okay. I'm trying to think, what else?
That's what you know.
Yeah, I don't really... Otherwise, we're going to have to go to, like, football facts.
I don't think he's into football.
What about jokes? Does he like jokes?
Who doesn't, mate? Give right. us a joke.
What do you call a chicken with lettuce on its eyes?
I don't know.
A chicken Caesar salad. Now, the way you get that in, Luce, is that... I think you refer to the menu. I know you're not eating tonight, but just go, oh, look what they do. And then go, what do you call a chicken with lettuce on its eyes? And
but then you'll get the punchline if I refer
no,
to
no,
the menu.
No, because what you do, the punchline is, you point to the chicken Caesar salad on the menu.
Hold it up. Oh, mate, this is why you don't date.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Oh, that's good, mate. That's quality.
Okay, right, so there's three things you need to try. The facts
Thanks,
about chocolate.
I'll try them out. I'll let you know how they land.
The capital of Nepal. And what do you call a chicken with lettuce on its eyes?
Chicken Caesar salad.
Right, you go off and have your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow. And listeners, yeah. You need to stay there. Off the back of this record, you'll hear what happens when I catch up with Lucy Anna Gray tomorrow/Thursday. Oh, it's too confusing.
Right, oh, it's so exciting, but also mind-blowing. I just came back from the other side.
Football Radio on your Sunday evening. I'm Sam Hutt. I am usually here with my partner in crime, Luciana Gray. That is not the case today. It is a weird one. Lucy is off on a date, and we have already heard pre-date. We have heard who this guy is. His name is Barry, code name Barry. We know what Barry does. He does a boring IT job, according to Lucy, but a very smart guy. He sounds like a catch, but the idea is we will speak to Lucy again post-date in about 10 minutes' time. We'll be hearing all about Barry. And then in the second hour of the show today, we'll be hearing what happened when I went to Creamfields last weekend, caught up with both Armin van Buuren and Mr. Probst, and the man behind one of the biggest records of this summer. That's Joe Stone, a track that we have played continuously on this show throughout summer 2015. What we'll do now is play another record, and on the back of this, hear what happened on Luciana Gray's date with a man we're calling Barry.
Just admit it. See, I gave you faith, turned your doubt into hope, and can't deny it. Now I'm all alone and my joys turn them open. Tell me, where are you now that I need you? Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Where are you now that I need you? Couldn't find you anywhere. When you broke down, I didn't leave you. Oh, I was by your side. So where are you now that I need you? Oh, where are you now that I need you? Nobody else was paying. I gave you the shirt off my back. What you're saying to keep you warm? I showed you the game everybody else was playing. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
And I was on my knees when nobody else was praying. Oh Lord. You know the nature. Where are you now that I need you?
Foobar Radio. It's a Sunday evening. Sam Hutt with you. And now it is time to get serious, because it is in fact a Thursday. I say it's Sunday, I was lying. It's a Thursday evening, and yesterday I spoke to Luciana Gray, pre-date I should say, but now it's post-date. The date happened last night, and Luciana Gray, you should be there on the line to tell me all about it.
Hello, I am here.
How's it going, mate?
I'm alright, I'm not too bad. How are you, darling?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I just had to type in your number into our phone here at Foobar Towers.
Mm-hmm.
Have you paid for that number?
So, obviously we're not going to give it out.
No.
But my number, you've got the 0 and the 7.
Yes.
Standard.
And then
the rest of it is made up entirely of two numbers.
Yeah, can we say which? Because, I mean, people aren't going to really try this, are they?
Yeah, tell you what, it's made up of 8s and 5s.
All the 8s and all the 5s.
So it's 07 and then a load of 8s and 5s.
Yeah.
If you get the combination right, you deserve my number.
Of course you do. I think that's fair enough. And then they can be the next person we send out on a date with you.
Yeah, all right, sure. They can buy me some Scotch eggs.
Well, yes, because that is the way to your heart. We've established this.
Exactly. I love a Scotch egg.
Scotch egg, pork pie, and do we say 3 pints of Guinness?
3 pints of Guinness, Scotch egg, a cheap pork pie, like the little...
Yes.
You get, you know, the duo.
Has to be.
And if we're feeling frisky, a cheese and onion pasty of sorts.
I'm addicted to the cheese and onion rolls at the moment.
They're so good.
They are, aren't they?
I mean, they're so not good, but I love them.
Was there any cheese and rolls on this date last night?
There was not, no.
Right.
There was no food at all.
No, of course there wasn't, because you had your pastas. Tomato, pasta, the boring pasta. You wait before...
boring pasta.
Yeah.
Lined my stomach.
Okay, and then...
So I don't make a fall on myself in case I have too many drinks.
Right, okay, I think we'll get into it then. Just set it up. You left the house at what time? What were you wearing? Where did you meet? Tell us all about it.
Okay, so I left the house at maybe like 8:30.
Okay.
And the fancy pub we went to is super near my house. So I was there shortly after, because we were meeting at 8:30, but it's like 2 minutes from my house, so
perfect.
I was like 5 minutes late. I
feel
was
like
wearing,
that's okay as well, because that's stylishly late, isn't it?
I think between 0 and 10 minutes late, fine.
That's where you want to be. Anything earlier, are you too keen? See, this is...
I don't know, but because sometimes if I get there early, I don't mind, and I'll text them and say, what are you drinking? And
okay.
I'll get the round in.
Yeah, because you do this a lot, don't you, the dating? Obviously, it's new to me.
I don't do a lot. So you're going to make me sound bad.
I'm not making you sound bad.
I'm not going to lie. Right now, there is a gentleman in the kitchen cooking me dinner, and that's a fact.
Right, and is this another date?
No.
Right, so what's a friend, okay. But
it feels quite date-like. He's one of my best friends, but it feels very date-like. He's making me a frittata from scratch.
Right, is that... See, frittata, is that egg and potato?
Don't know.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure either.
Well, I was going to watch him make it, but I've had to go into a different room to call you.
No, you can go into the kitchen if you want and just, you know, frittata
watch.
Can I just
quickly ask him?
Do you have to say, what the hell is a frittata?
Right. Hang on, I'm going in. I'm going in. Hey, Jack? What's a frittata? Right, okay.
Right, what's Jack saying?
Definitely egg.
Okay.
And the potato is optional, apparently.
Well, no, if the potato is optional, surely that's an omelette.
No, because he put other stuff in. I think, because I saw on the side he had, like, spinach and stuff.
Okay. Right, yeah.
But
this
I'm not sure.
A very posh omelette, then.
Yeah, basically, a fancy omelette of a Thursday.
Oh, very nice.
Anyway, I feel we're digressing somewhat.
Yes, we are, and we are short of time, so let's get to the point.
Sorry.
How the hell was this date?
Well, I'm not one to kiss and tell, Sam.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I'm a kissed him. Woo!
Right, so that must have gone well. I mean, you've kind of... I thought you might tell the story of the date, but actually you've gone straight to the ending, haven't you?
I've gone straight for the punchline there, mate.
Yeah, unless you did kiss very early on. I don't know.
We didn't. Kiss on the cheek.
Okay, that was on arrival.
It's not very grown up. On arrival, hug, kiss on the cheek, and I was like, oh, that's mature.
See, yeah, I can't do kisses on the cheek no matter who it's with, so that
neither
shows a level
I.
of maturity.
I can do it maybe like elderly relatives.
See, when I have to kiss elderly relatives, I simply make a noise.
I just you don't. Well, yeah, true. Okay, you don't actually do it.
Yeah, the faces go side by side, and my lips kind of go into the other person's ears, so they think that I've made some kind of contact when in fact I haven't.
Well, they do still have the feeling of touch. They know you didn't do it.
I don't know.
How stupid do you think your relatives are?
Well, no, you air kiss, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's a very, zhuzhi rah-rah kind of thing to do, mwah, mwah, darling, in the air, and not kiss.
The elderly relatives I'm talking about, they're not actually kind of, when I say elderly, they're kind of like second grandmas, right?
Got you.
And they are very, how do you do?
Mm-hmm. So they love an air kiss. So you just kind of lean in, mwah,
yeah,
mwah.
This is it.
No, I had a proper kiss on the cheek. It was lovely.
Okay.
And then we got the drinks in.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't go for Guinness.
Right. Why not? Explain that one, because you were sure you were going to.
I was sure. And then I had a quick look behind the bar and they just happened to have one of my favourite wines there.
Okay.
It's called the Pinot. Lovely.
Right. Very nice.
And I was like, why not? I'll have a large glass of that.
And is this red, white wine? If it's you, I think it would have been rosé. Am I right?
It was white wine.
It was white wine, okay.
Now, interesting, my dear Sam. Why would you think I drink rosé? What's this little characterisation of me going to be now?
I don't know. I just feel like rosé, it says a lot about a person if they drink rosé.
So what does it say about me? You think I drink rosé, which actually I don't drink rosé. But why do you think that then?
Rosé is kind of like the WKD of the wine world. It's like, I like to drink very cheaply and very quickly.
Hey, I'm a connoisseur.
A wine connoisseur or just simply rosé connoisseur?
No, wine. I'm not much of a rosé fan.
Okay. And what
I
did he go for?
Rosé.
Because I think that also speaks volumes about him, doesn't it?
He had cider, but like nice cider.
Okay, so what was it? Like some kind of cloudy thing?
I think it's nice. I like it. Stouffer Press.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Proper cider.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of this kind of Copperberg-y stuff.
None of the super sugary nonsense.
No.
No. We both got proper drinks.
Yeah. Do you know what? Those two, they're very grown-up drinks, I think.
Honestly, I felt like I was about 30.
Yeah. You both can be proud with those picks.
I felt really grown up. And he's pretty much the same age as us. He's like a year or two older.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great, and we talked lots. I was a little bit quiet, actually.
Right, well, I don't believe that.
Well, okay, for my standards.
Okay, so that means he did most of the talking, which has got to be an attractive quality.
Definitely he did most of the talking, yeah.
Right, and what was he mainly talking about?
We talked about work a lot.
Right, okay, is that a good thing? I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine. He has lived in loads of different countries, so we talked about that a lot.
Oh God, he's one of these, is he?
What?
Well.
Well travelled.
See, I have nothing to offer on the travelled front. Literally, I go between
London
and Stoke
and Trent.
I
thought of you on the date, actually.
Wait,
I thought of you because we're talking about Edinburgh, obviously.
Okay.
And he said, I've never been to Scotland. He went, actually, I've never been further north than Stoke.
Did he? He said that. So that suggests he's been to Stoke-on-Trent. Did he comment on the place?
And I said, have you been to Stoke? And he said, yeah, I was there for a weekend. Can't remember why, but I remember having a good time.
There you go.
There you are.
Oh, that's very nice of him to say. I think I approve.
And I just sat there and I thought, oh, sound like that.
Did you not bring me into conversation?
You?
Yeah, but you could have said, oh, I've got a very good friend / acquaintance / in some kind of other category that is from Stoke-on-Trent. He seems like a nice guy. I can imagine you had a great time there.
Right, Sam, this is like your little facts you were giving me earlier.
Oh, yeah. How did they go down?
This is one of those things. Obviously, I didn't say them because this is my issue with them. They're the kind of thing, you bring them up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then the conversation has nowhere to go after that. So if I said, oh, I've got a mate called Sam, he lives in Stoke.
Well, then
right.
what do I do with that information? Talking of Stoke-on-Trent, I've got a friend called Sam who I do a radio show with. You could have talked about this, Lucy.
We did talk about this.
But do you not think he'd be interested? I think that's quite a cool thing that you do radio.
I think he was interested. And actually, after we'd had a few drinks, he was kind of being very nice about me.
Okay.
because I think I made some comment. Do you ever do something where you're being self-deprecating, but it's meant as a complete joke?
Yeah, well, yes, I guess so.
Like, it was in the context of a conversation. I think I said something that was a bit, like, self-deprecating, but I didn't actually mean it. And I think we'd had, like, a few drinks by this point.
Okay.
So when Mum is like, no, you're great, and one thing we talked about was radio. So, you know, clearly that's a winner on the dating round.
Is it going to be a second date, then?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you didn't discuss it. I feel like that's something you should do at an end of a date. Are we going to see each other again?
Well, at the end of it, he walked me home.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm definitely going to see him again. Because, like, we'll both be at the same party this weekend, for example.
Okay.
Because, as I say, we have friends of friends and all of that.
So, right, and so there's no real need, is there, to kind of sign on the dotted line on the second date front?
No, and, like, he walked me home, kissed, okay. Lovely.
Did you have coffee? Is that what they call it, coffee?
We did not have coffee.
You didn't have coffee. So that's good, because I feel like a Wednesday night... You've got flatmates, that would be unfair to have coffee late on a Wednesday.
That would be a bit much.
Yeah, it would be quite a bit much.
Yeah.
All right.
But overall, I'd give it an 8.
An 8 out of 10 on your date?
Yep.
What we'll do then, we'll catch up next time we are on air together and we can hear more about your dating life, whether it's with this guy or some others.
Oh, exciting.
All right, mate. I'll see you in a week's time.
Bye.
It's Football Radio on your Sunday evening. Sam Hutt here with you. Hope you're well, enjoyed your weekend. Although we are now into the autumn, aren't we? Forget summer. In fact, I'm just kind of hanging on to summer now. I've got another music festival next weekend. Doesn't really count though, because it's then mid-September. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. It's not that far from Football HQ, actually, this music festival. And I will be on air again with Luciana Gray after that very festival. I'll be telling you how festivals can work in September, or not, as the case may be.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
I lost my mind, my heart
Sunday evening, Sam Hutt here with you. Right, coming next, we'll hear what happened when I caught up with Joe Stone at Creamfields. If you're not aware of Joe, he's a Dutch producer, a very young guy. I was surprised how young he was, actually. His track, The Party, has been massive this summer. It samples Montel Jordan's This Is How We'll Do It. You know the track, you'll have heard it throughout the summer, absolutely everywhere. He tells me all about that track and everything else about Joe Stone on the way next.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR. From Creamfields Festival 2015. My name is Sam Hutt and I am now joined by the man behind one of the biggest dance records here in the UK for this summer, Mr. Joe Stone. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing very good, mate. I'm enjoying Creamfields very much.
First time for you here?
For me, it's the first time, so really excited.
Okay, you just said to me you had a bit of a big night last night, so a lot of music. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I just enjoyed the DJs. What was a little bit harder genre, you know, the EDM and trance, Armada stage and Reveal stage. Just when the crowd was wicked.
So that's where you headed over to Armin van Buuren.
Yeah, just look backstage at Armin van Buuren with David Lewis Productions. Those guys are the agency of Armin. So got to meet with Armin very quick and a few other artists as well.
So. Is that something you do a lot? Because I mean, I'm sure you've done a lot of festivals over the summer. Are you able to take in a lot of the other artists, or is it just in and out, you know, so quickly over the weekend?
Well, sometimes really in and out, but really haven't done much festivals because most festivals were booked full. So my track just came a little bit late for the festival, but a lot of clubs coming up as well. So a lot of in the UK and Ireland as well. So.
How does what you do in a club compare to what you do at a festival? Does your kind of, does your set change? Does it have to be, you know, changed to work the crowd better?
Well, maybe it does. Maybe in a festival it's more like a happy feeling, you know, like a big feeling. So it's really, if it's really packed, then we play more like euphorical, stylish house. Also like tech house as well, and a little bit future house as well. So yeah, I'll just look and try to read the crowd and see what they're in for. So
I think we've got to talk about The Party, an absolute huge record here in the UK. And I think what you've just said there about your influences and what you're into actually is reflected in that record, because that record is one that is kind of, it's a house record, but it's been so well received by EDM DJs as well.
Yeah, it's great.
For example, Avicii, he's been dropping the Five Beats remix in many of his sets across the summer. I mean, you must be very pleased with that record.
Yeah, it's crazy, like a roller coaster, like a bit surreal, you know. It's having a bit of its own life, you know what I mean? So it's really funny to watch that, to watch it all happen as I'm sitting at home and reading all about it, and the interviews or the what people saying or the radio stations, or and seeing the big crowd jumping on the Firebeast remix. They've left the original pretty much intact as well, which is also funny. It started as a bootleg originally, so for them, so and then it's now a official remix. So
is that how it happened then? You just picked up that sample, think that's going to work, and you put it out there, and then eventually Montel Jordan goes, go on then, that can be official, we'll let you have it.
Well, it was really such an honor to have the official approval from him, from Montel Jordan himself. So I was really happy about it, or else it would have turned out as a cover maybe, you know. Sometimes well you're looking for the sample that nobody has used yet, and that was a classic everybody knows, and also really dangerous to tamper with. I know that, I'm aware of that, so some people may not like it, but I'm very happy most people do, as it appears. So I tried to do as treat it as much as respect as I could. So and also used, made a different phrase as a chorus than taking the original chorus. So there was also a fun fact.
How did that happen then? Were you sitting on that track for a long time thinking this would work perfectly for what I do, for the house, you know, the house vibe, and then eventually you just found something that worked, or was it very organic? How did it come about that you would pick that record, which, as you say, is a very established record in itself? A lot of producers kind of pick less established records and take them to a new audience, but that record's pretty big.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's crazy. It got pretty well received. So, sometimes you just make a track and then you feel, and you're just going on and on and on because you are in the flow of producing, and it just felt really great. Sometimes it's very organical how it happens. You just play around with some samples, and just sometimes it just fits together like a puzzle. And it, as it happened, I felt really confident about the result, and Spinning Records as well. I was very happy with the result. I think they were looking for a new sound, like they didn't have in their catalog yet. So I think it's a good adding to their roster, I think.
And the buzz around the record was unbelievable. I started a new job just at the beginning of the summer, and my boss said to me, it was an idea at the time, I don't think your name was put to it, there was just This Party record. No one knew what it was, and it just eventually built and built and built. And then it came in, the Spinning Deep had released this record, and it was Joe Stone's name on it. It was such a buzz around the track.
Yeah, it's true. It started as an ID track, you know, like Spinning is doing very much. So to hype, or maybe to let it, you know, that people are rumoring about it. You know, who's this track from? Is it him? Is it him? You know, so it was very exciting to watch that happen unfold. You know, like it went on like for 3 months until the announcement of Joe Stone, and then people were like, "Who the fuck is Joe Stone?" I know, but so yeah, this is Joe Stone, so that's why.
And the record, was it just as much buzz? I mean, obviously here in the UK there was very much a buzz around it, and it's become like a, effectively, whether you like it or not, it's a pop record, not because of the production behind it, it's very much a dance record, but just how well received it's become a pop record, if you like. It's been played alongside the likes of Taylor Swift and all the rest of them, because it's that popular. Has that happened across Europe, across the world, or is it more the UK and maybe Holland that's been so well received?
Yeah, I think it's happening all around the world. America, I'm not sure. I think pretty much Canada was always very dance oriented, pretty much more early than America, I think. But it got received pretty well in Europe. I think in Poland as well, France. A lot of other countries as well. So. I think it's a good crossover record. You know, it was well in clubs, I think, and it has that catchiness of that radio hit, I think. Yeah, so sometimes those things happen. I don't know why or how, but sometimes I just make music what I feel at that moment, and I don't try to pressure myself that much. So, so I'm not wanting people to have the expectations too high. I'm just making music what I like, and. And doing what I love, so.
And now the Crisscross Amsterdam remix, that's the next thing you put out, am I right?
Yeah, you're aware of that, yeah, that's true. So it will be released this Monday. So I think Spinner Records is going to release it as a single as well. There's a radio edit, so we'll see how it goes from there. So I got already picked up by big names in their radio shows as well, so and a lot of positive responses. Of the end, final results, so very happy again to maintain that Joe Stone sound as well as putting some new flavors in it, I think, as well. So,
and more music to come, more and more stuff from Joe Stone.
Of course, I'm just going on and trying to keep it all going. And there's a collab coming up. I can't tell you with whom yet, but it's got a little more futuristic sound about it, so hopefully people will dig it. And I'm working on the official follow-up for the party as well, so I'm not sure which direction I'm going yet, so I'm very excited about it.
And we are literally just over an hour away from your set here at Creamfields. What can we expect from it today?
What can you expect? Well, I hope for a crowded tent, of course, but I just try to read the crowd what they're in for at that moment. But you can expect some deep house sounds. I like tech sounds as well. I like a little bit of futuristic sound. So, got big. I try to make a blend of them all, and we see from there.
And then you're straight off, I've been told, straight off to a gig the other side of the UK, down in Portsmouth.
Yeah, on the coast, I believe. So it's Portsmouth, so it's a long long drive, I've heard. So, so we have to go straight away to Portsmouth, to Liquid, and tomorrow to Swansea. It's a 3-hour drive, I think, from Portsmouth. And that's at Club Fiction, so... So I'm really excited to play there as well.
Those long journeys, use that time for production? Are you able to sit there on your mark and get some work done?
Yeah, I'm still able to do that. I'm also calculated in sometimes, so I'll be good to produce some songs, I think.
Because I guess that's the only bad thing about having such a big record like The Party. It's, you're that busy then with DJ gigs. When do you get back in the studio?
I got back. I think next week or the week after. So, I got a little vacation planned in as well. So, got to think about your rest as well. So, and afterwards I'm going back to production, and it'll be good, I think.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck in an hour's time on the Creamfields stage. Thank you, mate.
Very excited. Thank you very much for having me, and good luck as well at Creamfields.
Thank you, mate.
Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shawl cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The party's underway, party's underway. So it feels so good in my hood tonight. The party's underway, so never hear the
Sam Hutt with you. No Luciana Gray tonight because she is off dating. We're now into the second hour of the show and it is all about Creamfields at the moment. We've already heard from Joe Stone and we'll be hearing from both Mr. Probs and Armin van Buuren, one of the biggest DJs in the world and a Creamfields veteran. He didn't like me saying it, but I'm calling him a Creamfields veteran. You will hear what happened when I caught up with both him and Mr. Probs at Creamfields last weekend. That is on the way next.
live at Creamfields 2015. I'm Sam Hall, and now joined by not just one man, but two of them, Armin van Buuren and Mr. Probs. How are you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ride last night, didn't you? Headlined the new mega tent here at Creamfields. How's that for you?
I got to be honest with you, it was unexpected. I'm so glad to be back in the UK because, you know, now I remember how great the vibe was. You know, I played here so many times in the UK.
It was really sweaty.
And it was sweaty and it was good. No, and it's dry, you know, the sun's shining.
Which is rare for the UK.
I know, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
You're a veteran here, is that fair to say? You've done over 10 years, did I hear you say earlier on?
I got 10 crosses now. I don't know, I'm always afraid to use the word veteran because in a way I just feel like I just started. You know, I remember the first time I came here, like yesterday. It's 10 years have flown by.
And for you, Mr. Probs, this the first one? First Creamfields?
First one, yes, this is the big one.
Apart from it being sweaty, what else did you kind of discover last night about Creamfields?
Well, the thing was, I heard WW play a version of Waves. I heard Headhunters play a version of the song that me and Armin have, Another You. And I already heard the crowd, like, sing it really, really loud. So I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen tonight. To see what's going to happen. Yeah, like, I'm really excited.
Can we have a quick word on Waves? Because that is a track that I think all over the world blew up massively, more than you probably could ever have imagined.
Yes, yes. And the crazy thing about it is it was just a tryout song, just a demo, like, you know, this is me singing, let me know what you think. And I'm standing here talking to you, so, you know, we're performing on the main stage tonight. It's crazy.
So last night, I wasn't there to see it, but the setup was a set from yourself, DJ set, and then you joined Almond on the stage.
Not yet.
Okay.
Tonight will be the first. That's it. Okay. It's actually kind of a secret still.
Okay. So you could just take it all in last night, just enjoy it.
Yeah,
as
I just
watched it.
But I'm also, you know, if I'm not on stage, if I'm not performing, I also like watch his shows just as a how you say that, like a visitor or. What's the
spectator,
word? A spectator, yeah. I'm just watching and
you're
enjoying
just
the show.
One of us, the festival goer.
Yeah, I like doing that. I like walking like in between the crowd and just see it from a different perspective, you know. And his show with the, I don't even know how to describe it, you know, like at a certain point he waves his arms and you got like smoke that follows him and light beams and all that crazy stuff. So for me, that's, you know, I just watch and learn.
And how did the UK crowd, how does it compare? Armin, you'll know very well, but how does it compare to the crowds all over the world? Perhaps take Tomorrowland, how does Creamfields compare to that?
Well, I want to say that Tomorrowland, I guess, is more of an international crowd, has more nationalities. Of course, there's other people from other countries here as well. I saw a lot of Polish people here, but in general, I think main part of the crowd is UK people, which is a great thing because I keep saying this, you know, one of the reasons why I'm standing here and one of the reasons why I'm successful is because I was actually more popular in the UK before any other country. So my career basically started here at Creamfields and here. Actually, my first gig was at Cream on the 5th of February 2000. Wow. I remember that.
Full circle.
So that's 15 years ago, warming up for Seb Fontaine. And, you know, so for me, it's all coming full circle. And yesterday, again, I felt how much I miss this country and how much I love playing for the UK crowd, because I'm not just saying this, you know, you might expect in any interview I'd be saying this to any interviewer, but it's not. I won't. You can check other interviews. I'm not saying this to everybody. UK crowd is really, they're music lovers. And for any DJ or any performer for that matter, it's a great feeling that you're playing to people who actually care about the music, singing along, and they're not sort of reserved, which I feel sometimes in other countries where people are sort of like, okay, so you're Armin van Buuren, show me who you are. Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, the party's made by the people, not by me. I mean, I can stand on my head and play the latest tunes or whatever, but it's all about the people that make the party.
Well, the EDM boom is kind of happening over in America, but the demand for what you do has been here in the UK, as you say, for years now. The EDM boom, as we've just described, do you think that's here to stay, or is that something that it'll kind of come and go, unfortunately?
Well, I'd like to distill it. I'd like to take a step back and look back at what's actually happening right now. I mean, I remember sort of a similar discussion in 2003 and 2004 when people said that trance was dead and it was all over, and how long you think dance music will be around. And I feel sort of similarities to the discussion back then. If you look at the history of music, any music for that matter, you can see one thing, it's progression. Things move on, but styles usually are there to stay, but they change, they adapt to the time. So trance is still here. I mean, it's 2015, we're 11 years after many people declared trance dead, and it's still around. It's still alive more than ever. more than ever. So I don't think EDM in this form will always be there, yeah. But it will, you know, it will develop. I think in 20 years from now we'll still have a thing called EDM, yeah. But it may sound completely different. I mean, look at what's happening with dubstep right now. That has clear elements of jungle and two-step, you know, and I think that's a great thing. If you listen to the first Beatles album, mm-hmm. and you listen to the last Beatles album, you can hear the progression. The yeah. first album they made with a four-track tape, you know, in a really small studio, and then in 10 years time the technology from record production went, you know, so fast. So I'm really interested in that. So to answer your question, what's going to happen with EDM, it's going to, you know, continue. I mean, right now you hear a lot of influence from deep house in EDM, so you know it's all going to mix and merge. I think the whole genre discussion is irrelevant, because you know what, it's all about what comes from the heart.
So is it your job as a producer then to move with that progression, or do you just continue doing what you do what feels right to you?
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict the future. I have no influence, not at all, not a single bit, about what this future sound will be. I can only play what I love. I can play what comes from the heart, and what, you know, I want to stay true to myself.
Yeah.
And you know what, I found out, you know, through working really hard and having a writer's block in 2002, I found out that the most important thing is to have fun in the studio. And when Mr. Props came to my studio to do work on Another You, it was a learning experience, but I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it, because we were making something that was beautiful, and we weren't thinking about, oh, this is a new sound, or it's EDM, or it's not EDM, or it's going to be top 40 or not top 40. No, we were just vibing and we were having a good time.
Do you say it was a challenge because you guys maybe come from quite different places musically, and then
a challenge. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And you know, if you discover new fields, you know, new grounds, it's always like a little bit exciting and everything. But if your gut tells you that it works,
yeah.
it's there for a reason, you know. So I'm really happy with the end result and all of the, you know, the positive feedback that we're getting from it. So, you know, like you said, like I don't believe in boxes, mm-hmm. and limits. Just go with the flow, and whatever your feeling tells you to do, your gut tells you to do, you just got to do it.
So Waves has kind of opened you up to the likes of Armin, to the Afrojack remix as well, into the world of dance music. Is that a conscious decision from yourself, or are you going to kind of just do, as you say, what you feel, be it dance music or other stuff?
Yeah, well, like you said, like it's you know, if it feels right, I just go for it. And I don't, you know, especially coming from like a hip hop background, you know, it's kind of hard to cross that bridge and not be scared to lose the bridge, you know. But for me, the people that have been supporting me and always supported me, they're like, you know what, we stand behind you no matter what. You just go and we'll, you know, we'll clear the way. And that's what's been happening, and that's what you always, I think, something that you will always have if you make your music authentic and heartfelt and true and honest. You don't have to worry about that. And the people that you lose, you're gonna lose them eventually, right? But you're gonna gain so much more. So, you know, yeah.
Can we have a word on Amanda? Responsible for a number one in the UK earlier this year from Lost Frequencies. Remains a big part of what you do, I imagine. How important is it to you to keep that going and keep bringing people through like Lost Frequencies?
Well, I want to give props to my manager, Michael, who's the managing director of Armada. And he's one of the guys that always told me, you know, just keep a focus on good music and do something that comes from inside, you know, something that comes from the heart. And that's what he's done. We created this new brand called the Bearded Man Recordings. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy A&Ring that, and the guy is called Marvin. And I think he's 18, he's now 19 years old. And he found Lost Frequencies, because he's really good with SoundCloud and everything. And he sort of woke us up to the whole world of SoundCloud and online music.
The great thing about an 18, 19-year-old, because he exactly. knows what to look for.
So there's a lot you can learn from young people. That's what we learned. And, you know, I gotta say, it's a gift from heaven, not because we were doing bad. On the contrary, we're doing really well. But it's opening this whole new world of new producers that come to Armada and see that we do more than just trance. I mean, trance will always be our foundation. I just started a new label, Who's Afraid of 138, that's doing really well. State of Trance is still selling really well. Our Mind is doing really well. Those are my three sort of pillars within Armada. But we have 20 labels right now with several different artists, and most of the music I don't even hear before it gets released. And that's great. You know, I always dreamed of making a platform for great music, for great artists. I made one deal with my manager. I said, just make sure you have the right contracts, you pay the statements in time, mm-hmm. then the people will stay loyal to you. And I'm really proud of the name that Armada has in treating their artists, you know, being open, honest, and fair, hardworking, and showing dedication to the artist. Because if you sign a track from somebody, mm-hmm. you're signing a little piece of them. You're signing a piece of their heart, of their identity. So you got to put all your effort into that. And I make sure that I tell that to every person in Armada, working at Armada. You're working with somebody's craft. You're working with somebody's art. It's like a painter. You're selling his painting. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful of that painting.
All big record labels out there, please take notes. Write this down, please.
As soon as we're at the festival, I want to finish with what I think is the best festival story ever. The birth of your child before Tomorrowland last year.
I've seen it. I finally saw it.
So 2013, saw it 2 years ago.
Two
yeah.
years ago.
Wow. Yeah, that was the biggest thriller I had in my life. It felt like I was in my own movie. My wife was pregnant, and she was due on the 28th of July. And I cleared my whole schedule. And the doctor said that the chances of the baby being born on the exact date is 3%. So, and I had one booking already before my wife was pregnant. It was Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
So it was the only one that I couldn't cancel. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting in the morning in the garden, and we were having breakfast because it was beautiful weather. And I was going to go to Tomorrowland. And then she said, "Oh, I'm feeling something." Well, it's probably nothing. It's probably nothing. And she kept saying that till about 1-2 o'clock. And she's like, "Oh, no, it's nothing. Oh, no, it's nothing. No, it's nothing. You don't have to go to we don't have to go to the hospital." You know. I was like, "Okay, so it's starting." And I immediately sent a text message to Tim at my David Lewis Productions. Said, you know, I think it's happening. And should we cancel? And, you know, there were already like 8 people in Belgium. Trevor Guthrie flew from Vancouver, Canada to do This Is What It Feels Like Live. So everybody's sort of ready for the big show. And I was like, "Oh my God!" And then the midwife came, and she said, "Like, we have to go to the hospital because it's happening." So we went to the hospital at 7, and my son was born 9:05, and everything was well. He was on,
Which is really fast.
Yeah, it's our second. So, but everything went fine, and I helped my son, and you know, the first thing you want to do as a parent is scream from the top of the roofs. Mm-hmm. That you have a son. And I thought, what better roof can I have than Tomorrowland? So I asked my wife, I said, "Can I go?" And she said the legendary words, "Is it important to you?" So, and then sort of a James Bond scenario happened, because there was a car downstairs with police escort. They escorted me to Rotterdam Airport. If you look on the map and you go from Rotterdam to Antwerp, it's maybe a 45-minute drive, but I flew that on a private jet just to make my gig. Landed at Antwerp Airport. There was a helicopter ready to pick me up. I landed behind the stage, and I was there 10 minutes before my set. So what you see on the YouTube clip in 2013 was actually me just coming from the hospital. I just washed my hands, and I just had a glass of champagne, and then I said, "I'd like to dedicate this set to my newborn son." And you know, and then it started pouring rain like God was crying, you know. I remember that. So yeah, that was and I remember driving back, going back to the hospital, and my wife was in one of the rooms, and it gave me a separate room, so I fell asleep, and our son was in the middle, and it was, you know, and good, all good.
Well, guys, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with Another You and with your performance later on. I think that's me out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm not sorry. Just looking for another you. It's not getting any better. But what can I do when there's something wrong? When we keep holding on to the best days. I'm not sorry. Just looking for another you.
on FUBAR.
It's just about it for today's show. Me, Sam Hutt, on the way out. No Luciana Gray, but we will both be back next weekend as normal, hopefully, and we can hear more about Luciana Gray's dating antics. It's been a very weird one today, but I like the fact we can get behind Luciana Gray's love life. I don't have a love life. It's non-existent. I don't date, so I date through her. I date people like Barry, but dressed as Luciana Gray or something like that. Anyway, me and Lucy back next Sunday from 6 o'clock here on FUBAR Radio.
Turn around.
cards on the table, and I'm believing what we found. If we can't trust the love in us, there'll be no looking back, no looking back, no. If there's enough, it's not we touch, there'll be no looking back, no looking back.
On FUBAR.